All right, Paul, we've been doing this for a long time together. We've done several of these, and I'm terrible at going into the introduction here, but real quick, Paul Joppa, CEO, founder of Zeem. You've got a huge shared terminal here at LAX that you were showing off last year. We're here at ACT 2026. Help me understand, what are you doing here today? What's the big news? And how far have we come at that original LAX depot?
Great to be here with you, Joe, and continue our discussion. LAX just crossed 350,000 charge sessions, so we're really, really proud. It's a
That's huge.
major milestone for us. 13.5 gigawatt hours of charging, and charging everything from autonomous vehicles, car rental companies, and class one vehicles, all the way up to class eight vehicles and everything in between. We won a big contract where we're charging a lot of BYD buses, so charging 24 buses a day out of that site, doing it every single day, enjoying over 99% uptime, and now taking the Zeem concept and bring it directly into the customer yard. So what's happening is that's a big transition that's happening right now at Zeem, seeing product maturity on the truck side and pricing coming down. And then the second big bit of news is that we've took a lot of the learnings from 4 years of operations building other depots. And what's happened is we've developed a new product called the MyGrid solution. MyGrid is essentially a skidded EV charging solution for fleets. It's something that allows us to deploy much faster at a lower cost. And it's helping to meet this huge swell that's coming right now in autonomous vehicle deployments and also with Tesla Semi coming. So we're very excited.
So, ton of great stuff there that I want to touch on. One of the great aspects of Zeem that we were talking about early on was this idea of combining the maintenance and the inspection crew, somebody who's there while the vehicle's charging that can do all this stuff and maintain a parts inventory. Is that still something now that you're expanding into autonomous and taxi fleets and bus fleets? Is that still something that is part of the vision?
It has to be. If it's not, there's a flaw, if you ask me, right? What happens is autonomous vehicles, they ride, they come back. If you have a nail in the tire, nobody's going to come out as a robot and fix that tire. So you're still going to need a human touch. So what happens is the operations very much from the beginning and continue to be, and I think will always continue to be very important for these operations. So yes, part supply, making sure we know the vehicles extremely well, make sure we could troubleshoot the vehicle. So it's not enough to just know the charging infrastructure, but you have to be intimate with the vehicles as well to be very effective in making sure you have the uptime. So our uptime guarantees are not only on the infrastructure, but it's also tying into the vehicles as well. So if a fleet or an autonomous vehicle fleet can know that the vehicles plus the infrastructure have an uptime guarantee and it's backed by real OEMs like ABB and Tesla, that's, I think, is going to be the future.
I think it's a great answer. When we talk about deploying large-scale charging or even relatively small-scale DC fast charging, depending on where you are in the country, one of the big obstacles has been the turnaround time from the utilities. It takes them forever to put in a make-ready solution to bring in transformers. Does the new skidded Grid Connect product enable you to have more flexibility in where and when and how quickly you can deploy?
For sure. I mean, that was exactly the reason why we developed it. We knew that everywhere we go, we're doing fleet charging. So we need a minimum of at least 3 to 5 megawatts to perform our services. So what happens is that's a huge, tall ask. So the MyGrid solution operates on grid. It's meant to be plugged into the grid, but it could also be completely operated off grid. So we've tied a mobile battery to it that could tie into that, power it, but it could also be powered by a 480 volt generator. So the idea is if I don't have enough power, let's say I have 800 amps and I need 4,000 amps, the battery could go ahead and fill the gap. Things like the generator can fill the gap. Or if I'm at peak power, let's say you're already installed and you've received your interconnection after 2 years, you can maintain that battery and keep it on site and also use it for peak shaving. So while your rates fluctuate throughout the day. So yeah, this MyGrid solution was put in place when every fleet would come to me and say, what happens if the power goes out?
Yeah.
And I would say to them, well, when the power goes out, you can't pump diesel. And they'd give me a snarky remark like, well, I could put a generator on it and I could pump diesel. So I figured, let me go ahead and do the same exact thing. Nobody has modernized infrastructure for fleets. So the way that it's done today is the mindset is how you build out a building. You use the same exact utility gear that you would use to build a building. And I started realizing after six, seven of these builds and doing big builds like this, how come we're not building for EV? This should be an EV install. So we should modernize the infrastructure related to it and update all that. So it takes the cost out, makes it much easier. So that was the exact reason why we put that product together.
I want to talk about two things that you mentioned here, and I think they're both very critical. in Illinois, where I live and where kind of my policy oversight is, we recently passed SB 25, which required a 30 gigawatt deployment of battery energy storage, specifically geared towards grid resiliency and peak load reduction, peak load shaving. Is a solution like yours that has battery capacity and stored battery capacity, can you push that back into the grid as needed at the request of the utility? And if so, is that something that you're looking at in terms of Illinois and then states like Iowa and Wisconsin that are kind of following suit to build out that grid resilience?
Absolutely. Good question. The bottom line is we're a huge user of power. So we need to be good citizens of the grid and make sure how could we continue to use that power the right way. The Zeem at the surface is a leasing plus infrastructure play. Beneath that, it's a distributed energy play. So everything is bidirectional. We want the entire site to be bidirectional. I want our charging systems to be bidirectional so I could pull power from our batteries in the trucks. I think that that's going to be a big part of the future of transportation and energy. That crossroads, we're at it right now. So being at that inflection point, I feel like products like the MyGrid is exactly what you need to be able to respond to the grid. It's a utility product. This is something that, of course, is mobilized and being used for EV charging. But if there's ever a catastrophe, if there's ever some sort of a situation that it's needed, mobile power is needed, this first generation would have to be trucked to the site and powered. But the future would be, of course, putting this on an autonomous platform and being able to move power, meaningful amounts of power over the road and deliver that, whether, and again, starting off with EV charging, but multiple other use cases as well.
Yeah, I mean, disaster response, that kind of thing immediately comes to mind. Rapid deployment, if you're putting in some kind of temporary solution, all that stuff comes to mind. The other thing that I wanted to touch on with a skidded solution is that a lot of the conduit, a lot of the wire, a lot of those really thick copper cables, they're above ground. And obviously, they're not just bare. They've got ramps over them and things like that. But they're very easy to see. And you de-risk or reduce the possibility of somebody accidentally coming in, a landscaping company or something like that, hitting it with an excavator and then reliving the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark when they opened the thing and the guy's face melted off, right?
I love that.
So, like, are you pitching this as a safety thing in addition to a cost savings, or should I invoice you for that idea?
No, I think it's a great question. I think ultimately, first of all, there's a lot of kooky looking skid designs.
Yep.
You have to make sure that you're manufacturing and engineering this the right way. There's a number of calculations that are needed when you're running high voltage wiring through these types of systems that are around heat dissipation, et cetera. So you're getting full power. Not to geek out too much on power, but that's important. So the way that we design this skid is very much having that in mind. If you're going to run three or four very thick DC fast charging cables to be able to connect charging, it's quite a bit of heat that comes from that. So you do want to make sure that, first of all, you have thickness of steel and real strong foundation that you're running that wiring through. You need to make sure that you're not crossing wires over or touching wires. So the engineering that goes into this is very sophisticated. The second piece is making sure that you bolt the charging and the other utility infrastructure on that and do it thoughtfully and consciously. The idea here is I've always heard everybody in my industry talk about future-proofing. I don't know how you could future-proof a conduit at an inch and a half. I've had to do it. I've done installations and literally had to rip it out and redo it. And it's cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm glad that that happened on Zeem's dime, right? At our depots. It didn't happen at a customer site. So we see that that's very possible. So you want to make sure that you're very thoughtful. And it's a good question because you don't want to be putting in just rinky-dink type of above-ground infrastructure. It won't work. I do see it in the school bus side, for example, for rapid deployments. I will 100% never back a unsafe type of installation like that. The way that we're going forward is being very conscious of high-voltage wiring, being incredibly safe, knowing that this is going to go into very large fleets that have very deep safety requirements, being conscious of things like OSHA and other things. So all of that is invested into this single product.
I love all of that. Now, I know we're coming to the end of this. It's a 15-minute show. Like half of it is us talking, which is great. It's what you want. You have, over the years, talked very highly of different manufacturers, different products. You've seen, at this point, we've all seen like brands like Nikola come and go. We've seen others rise to prominence and then kind of stall out. Now it finally seems like we're starting to get Tesla Semi on the road. It's starting to seem like Volvo's getting serious again with the not only the VNR, but the VNL. The Mack MDs are coming out. Are you seeing now that there's several choices available, or is there still a clear leader in terms of delivering what Zeem needs?
I think that's again, an excellent question. I'm disappointed in 2026 to answer that. I think it's the beginning of starting to see that. I still think the major OEMs are still doubtful that Tesla is going to be able to deliver and scale. I think once that starts to happen, and I believe that these organizations are very much sitting in their boardrooms trying to figure out what to do. But I think here's the problem. The problem is technology-wise, you just can't compete with Tesla. So if you can't compete, you'd have to make significant investments to try to get there. You know me, I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I don't believe what the OEMs have said they've invested into their technologies to build electric trucks. If that's true, then they suck at what they do. If what Tesla has done, then that means Tesla's just 10 years beyond where everybody else is. My feeling is the answer is something in between. I think Tesla has done, a really good job of promoting this product and really getting everybody's eyes open, but we've been running it. And because we've been running it, I think it's going to completely take everybody on their back heels and have them realize we have to look at our engineering plans. I hope some of them actually decide to just leave the EV space, because what's going to happen is the continued hemorrhaging of them not making money. It's not helpful for the industry. It just, again, it proves the fact that they don't know how to build an electric truck. That's okay. If you build the diesel and you do it very well and it's very economical and it's also environmental, great. We still need to have diesels on the road. But don't pretend like you're going to make an EV and blow up the EV industry and hurt companies like Zeem. I think what's great is this is an inflection point year, 2026. And I think transportation is going to change forever. We're seeing it in autonomous vehicles. What's going to happen is the Tesla Semi is going to change logistics forever. And then autonomy is going to come into that sector. I think we're at that crossroads today, and it starts in 2026.
That's awesome stuff. Listen, for everybody listening to this, I know we've promoted and plugged Zeem a couple of times. Do you finally have a TikTok page that we can follow?
You know what? I from you telling me that, I'll make sure that I get one going. I am the worst social media guy ever, but I assure you I have good people on my team that I'll stick to their day.
Beautiful. All right. Again, Paul Joppa, CEO, founder, all the great stuff. Coolest guy at the show. Come see him if you're here at
expensive.
ACT.
Thank you so
Later,
much.
buddy.
Appreciate it.